Welcome to the audio version of Prayer Confessions to Dominate in the New Millennium, a prayer guide to establish the kingdom of God in the nations, cities, families, and the body of Christ in the earth in preparation for the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. I am the author, Veronica Winston, and I'll be taking you through a journey of prayer, dominating prayer, that gets results, while at the same time builds the image of God on the inside of you. We'll be featuring the entire book on tape from cover to cover, so let's begin with a prophecy given to me in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on October 27th, 1986, entitled Stay Fervent in Prayer. Open your eyes, and you will see that your salvation is of me. My people don't know the glory I hold, which is given to you, the glory I told you that filled the temple at its dedication, that glory you receive at the time of salvation. Lift up your eyes, come up where I am. Press forward, press on, don't idly stand. Stay fervent in prayer and don't let it slip. An army needs to be alert and fit. And always on the offensive, attack the strongholds of the enemy and back the power in my word with action. Faith stays alive with works to back them. Think ahead and make your plans. Pray that my glory will cover the land. I'm opening doors for my people to invade every realm of life with the word of faith. The victory in the spirit always precedes the victory that the eyes can see. Intercessors have been busy from times long ago, so you could reap where you did not sow. The land is one of plenty for you, though famine is impending and due. Look not aside to the left or to the right. Keep my words always in sight. As Jehoshaphat's army won with praise, you'll see victories the same way in the next few days. Honor me with your faith to the end. You'll never be disappointed. You'll always win. Why another book on prayer? Hasn't everything been said that needs to be said? Well, this book is unique. It is an outgrowth of many hours spent in morning time prayer with God. It includes prayers that have transformed many lives and will transform your life. It includes prayers that will bring God's will to earth as it is in heaven. And because these are to be prayed every day, you will become skilled in the word of righteousness, Hebrews 5:13, and will begin speaking as the oracles of God, as it says in 1 Peter 4:11. The principles of faith and confession have been taught in the body of Christ for several years now, and many believers have come to understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, and that God creates the fruit of the lips. This book goes beyond personal confession. I believe it reflects the heart of God to reach our families, communities, and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. We must begin to call into existence the precious promises of God and confess what God wants, to evangelize the lost and make disciples of all nations. We must expand our prayers beyond our own needs to impact our cities, the nations, and the body of Christ. This prayer guide is the first step in assisting new believers on how to pray from God's Word, saying what God says, knowing that His Word does not return void, but will accomplish that which it is sent out to perform. Such faith will begin to rise in you. Because they are prayed daily, the image of you having dominion over circumstances will grow. Instead of pampering emotions and rehearsing past hurts, you can quickly train your mind to think like God thinks and learn to go to God's Word for the solutions to life's challenges. Mature Christians will also benefit from praying these prayer confessions. As we continually say what God says regarding our circumstances, we will emerge from our prayer closet with an overcoming, victorious attitude and will approach each daily task and interaction with confidence and assurance that God and His Word are in control. There are many lifestyle habits which make strong disciples. One is being connected to and regularly attending a local church, teaching the gospel with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Another is regular scripture memorization. Another is to change the way we think by cutting off every fearful and negative thought and interjecting what God says about the situation. and declaring that in faith instead. Another way is to pray in tongues daily, building up yourself on your most holy faith. One powerful way to become a strong disciple is a daily reading of the Scriptures. I personally like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Pursuit of His Presence daily devotional. Each day's reading begins with a good dose of faith teaching, and the daily Bible readings will take you through the entire Bible in 1 year. Personally, I have found that God can give guidance and expert counsel on a wide variety of issues simply by your daily Bible reading. Many of the following confessions have proven to be powerfully effective over the past months and years in building a prayer hedge around our lives, families, neighborhoods, church, and the entire Chicago metropolitan area. Members of every local church, especially those in larger cities, would benefit and are encouraged to pray these prayers in one accord as we daily take dominion over the forces of darkness that have been hindering the advancement of God's kingdom in the earth. As Nehemiah assigned every family to rebuild a part of the wall around Jerusalem that had been left in ruins, every household in the body of Christ must do its part to rebuild our lives, our communities, and the earth by calling things that be not as though they were and using things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. God has commissioned us to change cities and nations in preparation for His coming. God watches over His word to perform it, and angels are dispatched to bring it to pass. It is written in Ezekiel 36, verses 33 through 37, "I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like a garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock." God is waiting for us to ask Him to rebuild our cities. He wants to restore lives, marriages, families, neighborhoods, governments, and nations to His heavenly pattern and blueprint. When we, the church, take our place as a house of prayer for all people, we will see and experience the days of heaven upon the earth. Will you take up your part in rebuilding our churches, our communities, and our nation for God? It's not difficult. The word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. One final note. The power of praying in one accord as a corporate body can only be released when multitudes are praying as one. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Do you know what's left after a flood? Nothing. And that's exactly what will happen to the enemy forces and their works once the saints join their rivers of living water and create a spiritual flood in our cities. The New Testament church was birthed in a prayer meeting where 120 people prayed in one accord in one place, as is seen in Acts chapters 1 and 2. When Peter and John had been threatened not to preach the gospel, the saints prayed in one accord, quoting scripture, and it shook the place and all spoke the word of God with boldness, as seen in Acts chapter 4. When Judah was threatened by enemy forces, King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast and gathered the entire nation, little ones, children, and all, to a prayer meeting. What looked like certain death became a stepping stone to so much wealth, it took 3 days to gather it all in. You can find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Prayer saved Lot and his family from destruction. Prayer delivered Peter from a jail cell. O saints of God, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their paths. Now the section on how to use this prayer and confession guide. These prayer confessions are to be proclaimed. Reading puts the word into you. proclaiming draws it out of you to bring it forth into the natural realm. This prayer guide is just one weapon in God's arsenal that He has given us as prayer building material for His kingdom. The four sections that comprise this prayer guide are summarized below. Section 1, Prayer Guide Overview. Please read this first. Listen to this first. It will put using the prayer guide in proper perspective, along with your part to play in kingdom building. As Nehemiah received instructions from God on rebuilding the walls around the city, this particular prayer guide was given specifically for the rebuilding of lives of those living in cities, where fighting the good fight of faith is more intense and the inner image of people has been greatly damaged. Regular confession of these prayers will do much to rebuild that inner image into the image of Christ, because the confessions come straight from the Word of God. Section 2, Daily Prayer Confessions. These confessions can be your daily prayer. They're similar to what I have been praying for years. We include praying for kings and all who are in authority, calling in the harvest of souls, and calling for revival in our cities and their suburbs. They are perfect to include in 24-hour prayer chains. Our vision is to enlist thousands of Christians in every major city and town in this nation to commit to praying with us daily in one accord. This prayer covering works. A woman reported that after praying these prayers for a month, the daily gunshots she heard outside her window had ceased. Another said that right after she completed her prayer confessions, while flying out of her city, the airplane dropped 300 feet, and the pilot announced that he had just averted an air collision with another plane. Thank God for answered prayer. It's time to make our streets safe and our homes peaceful and happy. In other words, it's time to enjoy the days of heaven upon the earth once again. When you experience the life-changing results using this prayer guide can bring, write and share with us the good news. Better yet, get a few copies and spread it around. It's one thing to pray for yourself and your own daily, but imagine 10,000 other saints in your city also praying for you as you pray for them on a daily basis. What if everyone in your town arose each morning and declared the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your community? What if every parent in every major city of this nation were to bind the devil and all his works from affecting our children? Isn't this a better way to control violence in the schools than installing surveillance cameras, metal detectors, and assigning police officers to keep the peace? These confessions are most effective when spoken aloud daily, but use whatever is effective for your own personal schedule. Completing this section and section 4, Focus Confessions, along with the Day of the Week Confessions, will give you more than enough ammunition to fight the good fight of faith every day. Feel free to break them into sections that fit into your personal time commitment with God. Consistency is most important here, not how long you spend in prayer. You can gradually increase your time spent in prayer, but remember, the more time in prayer you sow, the more harvest you'll reap. To pray every prayer daily may be too much of a time investment for many people. You may want to plan different sections to pray each day of the week, or pray some in the morning and some at night. And now that we have the audio version, your car or your study or your office can be your private sanctuary as you pray and repeat on the tape. Of course, time spent with God should be more than confessing out of a prayer book. Talk with Him throughout the day. Meditate on His Word. Study your Bible. And do other activities that will strengthen your spirit man. Our devotional time with God in any given week should include ample time for fellowship with God, praise and worship, praying in the Spirit, quiet time, scripture memorization, and receiving wisdom through praying in the Spirit as you embark on various tasks that require God's revealed will and plan. Remember, the purpose of this prayer guide is to establish the kingdom of God in the earth in preparation for the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't understand what praying in the Spirit is, write us, and we'll gladly send you information on it. We begin the daily prayer confessions with praise scriptures because, First and foremost, we must begin the day acknowledging God's supremacy and greatness. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give him glory and honor and praise first of all. Praise lifts our hearts toward heaven and washes our minds from worldly contaminants. These scriptures promote a global perspective and keep us from becoming too self-centered in our confessions. The praise to begin your day and praise confession for the nations can be broken into smaller segments, if time does not permit to confess them in their entirety. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. This prayer guide is dedicated to speaking forth God's will into every area of life and society, in our personal lives, our homes, neighborhoods, cities, and nations, and the nations of the earth. As we speak them in one accord, we are filling the earth with faith-filled words, going into the spirit realm, attacking the very root of every area in need. We, having the same spirit of faith as the patriarchs, believe. Therefore, we speak. The spirit of faith will arise in your heart. You will begin to follow the divine flow of the anointing of God. Each day becomes easier and easier. You will think with clarity. Your days of struggle and frustration will disappear. God's ability will rise up within you, and you'll find yourself doing things with ease that used to be oppressed. You'll be acting like God. In Section 3, the Day of the Week Confessions. These are to be read after the daily confessions on the specified day. On pages that list individual ministries or businesses, lay hands on them and pray in the Spirit for God's perfect will to be done. You may want to call out each name as you pray or include them all in one prayer. The Holy Spirit may lead you to spend an extended time praying for one of the ministries listed. Follow that leading. God knows who needs prayer that day. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught his disciples to make known to God what they needed. Place a demand on the covenant. All things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us through the knowledge of God. This prayer guide is full of the knowledge of God, and as we confess God's precious promises, we are partakers of his divine nature. The God nature in us rises up and provides that way of escape from fleshly lusts which corrupt the soul and opens the door to the enemy. Section 4. Focus confessions. These will allow you to target your faith for specific areas of your personal life and will provide an excellent foundation for your day. The daily confessions to dominate circumstances has been a favorite of mine for years. It works. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A debt is something owed, be it money, or more generally, when we ought to have done right and we chose to do wrong. There are prayers of repentance for our nation for letting this country degenerate into its present state of apostasy, but we're changing that by faith now in Jesus' name. God is looking for a people to stand in the gap before him for the land, to save it from destruction. He is looking for a people to cry out, "Restore." The other prayer of repentance is for not training our children. God never tolerated rebellion from his people, and neither should we as parents. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, as seen in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. One in rebellion in a family, marriage, church, business, city, or nation can exert control over that entire entity and cause them to miss the best of God. Society, and that means us, has allowed a culture of rebellion to fester in this young generation like a cancer, distorting their self-image, encouraging disrespect for authority, and robbing them of tapping into their God-given potential for greatness. We have seen the results of a public school system trying to educate our children without God, and we're paying for it dearly. Many young parents today have so little home training and godly wisdom to draw from that their children are absolutely spiritually and intellectually bankrupt. We must pray for every child, not just our own. We cannot afford to stand by the sidelines and watch this generation go to hell. Woe be to us if we spend all our faith on self-indulgence and turn our backs on the very ones we're empowered to set free. One last note. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You can be free from holding unforgiveness because someone has wronged you by increasing your love for the Word of God. Love God more than your right to be heard. Vengeance belongs to God. He's keeping score. Walk in love, but walk in boldness. God is on the side of right. Speak His word in every situation. Keep Him as your focus. Take authority in prayer. God can revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." It is a travesty the level of scriptural illiteracy that exists in the body of Christ. Religious tradition has not only made the Word of God of none effect, but as Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, religious leaders have shut up the kingdom of heaven against men who are now scattered as sheep without a shepherd. 1 John 3:8 says, "He that commits sin is of the devil." If sin is running rampant in any church, need we list the sins? They either need to get saved or get proper Bible-based teaching so they won't perish for a lack of knowledge. Then commit to being doers of the word and not hearers only, lest they fall into deception again. James 1:14 says a man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Don't blame the devil for your sin. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, following your own spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Train your spirit, and flesh won't control you. Romans 7:25 says, "If we follow our flesh, we will serve the law of sin, but with the mind we serve the law of God." And Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit." So our spiritual walk follows our spiritual thoughts. Remember when Jesus said, "A man who looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Our actions follow our focus. That's why God said, "Let them," God's words, "not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart," in Proverbs 4:21. If we renew our minds with God's word daily, we will start to think like God, and God don't sin. Excuse the grammar, but I think you get the point. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus taught us in Luke 17:21 that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is within us. We give God dominion in our lives, and He helps us exercise dominion in the earth. If we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all things shall be added unto us. We must learn to rely on God totally. He is faithful. He's just looking for willing servants, sons of God, to do His will. This prayer guide is like a tour guide conducting you into and through the realm of prayer. It will take you through many featured attractions in the land of promise. Just continue confessing them daily, and you'll taste the good fruit of the land. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The land is good. God has given us power to get wealth, abundant provision of all good things, which includes wisdom, peace, and faith, to establish His covenant in the earth as it is this day. It's time to take our places as kings and priests in the earth. In Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion." May God's best and greatest of the kingdom be yours always as we possess the land in His name. In Jesus' love, signed Veronica B. Winston. Now some key scriptures for this hour. God expects us to dominate. In Psalm 8:6, it says, Thou madest man to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Multitudes will travel from other cities to pray with your local church because they hear that God is with you. As it says in Zechariah, chapter 8 and verses 20 through 23, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We must seek God and prepare to teach others how to walk and talk in righteousness with skill, as it's written in Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me, will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. God expects prayer to be a primary activity of the local church when the saints gather together, so much so that he calls us a house of prayer. As it's written in Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7, that those who take hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. In the last days, which are now, the Lord's house will be center stage and will draw more people than all the sports arenas and music concerts combined. Let's see what Micah chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2 have to say. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come, and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So let's get ready, saints. The fight is on, and we win. In the next section, we talk about levels of prayer. And there are 10 levels of prayer that the Lord has given me. And so we'll start with the first level. Level 1, read prayer and confessions from a book. Level 2, pray in tongues. Level 3, confess scriptures straight from the Word. Level 4, pray a scripture from the Word and expand upon that prayer spontaneously. Level 5, pray the word that is hidden or planted in your heart spontaneously. Level 6, receiving specific guidance from God as to what and how to pray the word, reading from scripture and praying the word from memory. Level 7, praying God's word and in tongues, alternating as the Spirit leads. Level 8, you have a great hunger for God, almost a desperation to pray His will, submitting to Him from the heart, from the spirit, searching His spirit with your spirit, crucifying the flesh, not satisfied with self-directed prayer, digging deep into the spirit realm. Level 9, your spirit issues out the forces of life in effectual, fervent prayer. You press into the spirit realm, your spiritual antennas in tune to where the Holy Ghost leads. You can sense in your spirit power being released as you speak. You know strongholds are being destroyed. Level 10. Immediately when you get to the place of prayer, you're in the spirit, in the Holy of Holies, one spirit with God, praying his desires from your heart, intimate with him, communing with him, lost in him, your mind in total subjection to your spirit. Prayer here is not forceful, but flowing, and such a great joy you can't get enough. Where on this levels of prayer do you fit? In any given prayer meeting, you may go from one level to another, which is totally appropriate. The Bible says to pray with all prayer, or all manner of prayer, in Ephesians 6, verse 18. I have found that sometimes switching to a different level is what it takes to get the breakthrough. For example, you may have hit a spiritual brick wall, so you feel led to pray forcefully in tongues for 20 minutes. On the other hand, praying in tongues can be the lazy man's way of praying, because you can pray in tongues and have your mind wandering and not have your spirit focused on anything. In other words, undisciplined praying. Yes, because you are praying the perfect will of God, there will be results. But how much more can we accomplish if we are focused in spirit, soul, and body? If we put our all into prayer when praying both in tongues and in English? There is much more to prayer than the average Christian has tapped into. It takes work. Oh, but the results are sweet. Actually, to the flesh, it feels like work, but your spirit is so energized that afterwards you feel like you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. The more you pray, the more you learn how to pray and how to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will not make you pray right, spirit-led, not flesh-led. You must yield and submit to Him. Only through praise and worship, fellowship with God, and abiding in Him and letting His Word abide in you, do you proceed to the higher levels. Fasting also helps. Set aside that one meal, especially prior to a group prayer meeting or corporate prayer at the church. You'll be amazed how easily prayer flows when your body is not digesting food while your spirit is trying to hear from God. The lower levels require virtually no spiritual preparation. But if you spend all of your time in the lower levels, you're cheating yourself of experiencing the glory of God. And we'll end this introductory section with another prophecy given to me, January 15th, 1994, and it's entitled, Come Up in the Spirit. In the Spirit, it's a place far beyond the mind, a place of reality, of purpose, of rest, that the natural man cannot find. Gifts abound there, gifts of grace, supernatural ability to be sure, to enable the saints to fulfill my purpose and plan and to keep their hearts always pure. There's purpose and meaning in all that I do, the various works I perform. They bring lasting results when followed just right, to heal, to bless, to warn. A heavenly fight is at hand in these days. Men are only acting under Satan's control. My first desire is preserving life and saving every soul. In the city, in the country, in the field, and abroad, there's no place hidden to me. I've given dominion to my body, the church, and I expect you to command ye me. I only operate as far as your faith can see, as far as your words declare. My great desire in centuries of old was for my people to take off the brakes. It's unity as one that thrusts you into the momentum to take the land. And as you seal every gap in the hedge of my church, healing can go forth through the land. So what's your desire, your dream, your plan? How do you know what's to be? Come up in the Spirit and spend time with your Lord. Only then are you able to see.